Sometimes a friend's medical woes are a good opportunity for personal learning. Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and today I want to talk about something of which I only became aware because of the personal experience of a friend of mine. Any opportunity to learn something should always be taken. What triggers your interest in a particular area can vary, but self-directed learning is a powerful way to learn and consolidate information. Sometimes personal experience directs that learning, and this is always going to resonate more strongly. And sometimes it might be the personal experience of a family member or a friend that triggers that learning journey. And so it was for me. Following a friend's journey via WhatsApp through a painful medical condition not only highlighted a clinical presentation of which I was unfamiliar, but hearing their experience of navigating the healthcare system has made me more mindful of how we treat our patients. I think there are some key learning points I have extracted from this situation, and with their permission, my friend is keen that I share these with you. It was a Friday morning in an unspecified part of the world and at an unspecified time in the past, and they awoke with a minor toothache. It remained a niggle for most of Friday and was enough to notice when the tooth got hit, but not much to complain about. As the weekend progressed, the pain became worse. It was noted that pressure on the tooth made it feel numb, but on releasing the pressure, it began to pulsate. Eating had started to become difficult. Paracetamol and diclofenac were no longer helping the pain. On the Monday, they consulted a dentist. X-rays were normal, and the dentists did not see anything abnormal, but they prescribed analgesia and antibiotics. As Monday progressed, the pain got worse, and it now hurt to press the tongue against the roof of the mouth. Talking was painful, and now tramadol had been added to the mix. Monday night was sleepless, and nausea and occasional vomits had started. Solid food was no longer possible. The pain was worsening, steady at 7 out of 10, but increasing with any movement or pressure. It was around this time that I was consulted via WhatsApp, and I advised that given the hour, if they were unable to see an emergency dentist, they should present to an urgent care type facility in the part of the world in which they were in. This is what they duly did. The doctor who saw them that evening in the urgent care had clinical concern that there was a palate abscess. This was based on palpating the palate and there being a swelling associated with significant pain. Having maximised oral analgesia, the urgent care clinician made several calls to try and get a plan in place to get the abscess drained. As I'm sure you can all appreciate, sometimes access to dental services can be sporadic, so they ended up getting referred to the emergency department. When they were seen there, the attending clinician did not appreciate any abscess and surmised that the pain was a deep dental infection. They proceeded to do an infraorbital nerve block, which did not help the pain, and my friend was sent home on the same medication that they were already on. At this point, they were in tears with pain. Knowing them as I do, and knowing what they've been through in the past, for this to be a pain of such intensity to reduce them to tears told me everything about just how painful this condition was. The infraorbital nerve block had numbed their face, but the area that was causing the pain remained obstinately free from anaesthesia. So we now get to the Wednesday, when they returned to the emergency dentist. Further X-rays showed nothing, so the antibiotics were changed due to nausea, and a scan, presumably a cone beam CT, had been recommended. And a referral to the maxillofacial team to arrange that scan had been arranged. On Thursday, they returned to the dentists, who now appreciated that there was palate swelling, and they did attempt an incision under a local anaesthetic. However, not much came out. By Friday, the referral to the maxillofacial private service was expedited, and they attended literally at the end of their tether. The maxillofacial surgeon identified it as a palate abscess from a deep dental infection and drained it. The pain relief was so instantaneous, and as already mentioned, my friend is not a moaner, that they required no further analgesia after the incision and drainage. It has required further dental workup to correct the underlying issues, but this was 1 week of increasing hell, and I wanted to talk now about what I have taken from hearing their story. Firstly, let's talk palate abscess. These occur as a result of infections of the upper posterior teeth. The infection starts at the apex of the tooth and then erodes through the palatal bone, and pus accumulates in the palatal mucoperiosteum. The clue is the palatal pain and the swelling and erythema to the palate. It does not usually cross the midline. It is important to look and feel that area when examining teeth, and do not be reassured by normal-looking teeth. They need incision and drainage and formal dental follow-up. It might not be a procedure that you are comfortable performing in urgent care, so a maxillofacial or dental surgeon is probably the best port of call. I've put some links in the show notes so we can all refresh our knowledge of this condition. And that really leads me to the important learning points from this case. The clinical condition is a relatively straightforward, if quite rare, abscess. But we should think and reflect on a few key points that surrounded this case. Firstly, we should always listen to our patients. They will usually tell us the answer. My friend was clearly able to identify the location of the pain. They were able to say that it started in the tooth, but the pain was now in the palate. Now, it might not always be the case that they are right, but you have to find very good reason to say that what the patient is telling you is not relevant to their diagnosis. If they say, "It hurts in my palate when I press it with my tongue," even if you cannot see an abscess, you should be thinking that is a possibility. Now, I've seen photos, and it was pretty obvious that there was palate swelling and erythema, so looking should have been enough. But you have to look and you have to listen to what your patient tells you. You must never assume. This is another important learning point, because common things are common, but we must not be tempted to make the narrative fit the story we wish to unfold. It is all too easy to hear the words dental pain and to go into an autopilot. We might approach a dental pain with an underlying sense of resentment. I mean, why are they not at the dentist? You might, in the absence of any compelling clinical findings, start to question the patient's motives. Could they be drug-seeking? You might therefore allow yourself to transit a path that becomes almost treating by rote. In my first ED-SHO job in the UK, I was told that dental pain in ED needs the three Ps. Penicillin, painkillers, and go away and see your dentist. So long as you've excluded a few red flags. But we should always stop and ask ourselves the question, is there a bias in this consultation? Am I not seeing the picture because I have an expectation bias that is making me see an alternate picture? In this case, we had a patient who was not responding to medication and did not respond to an infraorbital nerve block. All of these are reasonable measures for treating dental pain. But pausing to think, why? Could this be something else? I think in urgent care we should be very wary of repeat presentations. They should prompt you to rethink. Is my diagnosis sound? What else could this be? It is good practice to document this thought process in the notes, even if you do not change your mind, because it shows your thinking, and you will help other people down the line if they review the patient. It is always a good idea to ask a colleague or a specialist to bounce ideas off them and see if their perspective offers new ideas. And finally, leading on from this, it is important that if we receive a referral from another specialty, that we read the referral letter. If you are referring, we must make our notes clear and full of pertinent information, including what we think it is. The person reading that can then hopefully take on the baton of care. In this case, the urgent care doctor had clearly written palate abscess as the diagnosis being considered. Perhaps reading that and acting on it could have meant my friend had the relief of an incision and drainage a little bit sooner. So, to wrap it up here, I think examining the palate and palpating the palate should be part of your workup of dental pain. If you find someone has pain medial to the teeth over the palate, especially with any erythema and swelling, you should be looking to refer to someone who can definitively treat a palate abscess. I would encourage you all to think, even just for 1 second, about a palate abscess in every dental pain presentation, and to think strongly about it in the presence of worsening pain. Always consider drug-seeking behaviour, but remember that severe dental pain in the presence of good dentition can occur. Always listen to your patient, and when something is not going the way you expect, step back, look for expectation biases, and ask a colleague. Sometimes the correct answer is right there, and they see it, but you don't. Now, if you have any comments, questions, suggestions, or corrections, email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz. And we'll be back again next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then, but for now, thanks for listening.